For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Our sermon today is called We Are Powerful in the Lord. So let's open in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We come with an open heart, ready to hear from the Word of God. We thank you that the Holy Ghost is with us. He helps us. He opens our eyes to the truth of the Scriptures. And I pray that each of us have ears to hear today, that we hear what the Spirit is saying to us, that we hear what the Word of God is saying to us today. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of your Word and the wonderful promises that you have given us in the Word of God. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are powerful in the Lord. Praise God. Let's see what the Word of God says about this. Let's start with, firstly, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. And the Word of God says in Ephesians 6, verse 10, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So this is where we're starting, because we have to understand and know that our strength and the power that we have as Christians comes from him. It comes from him. Praise God. So the Word of God tells us, my brethren, talking to Christians, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And we are strong in the Lord. So he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In the power of his might. So he's mighty. He's powerful. And in him, we're strong, praise God, and powerful in him, in the power of his might. So know that your strength comes from God. And in the Lord, we are strong. In the Lord, we are strong. So see yourself as a strong person in the Lord. Praise God, strong in the Lord. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us, the Scripture says. Have a look at Ephesians 1 and verses 18 to verse 23. So we'll look in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 18, starting at verse 18, and we'll read to verse 23. And the Word of God says in Ephesians 1, starting at verse 18, The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So that's talking about your spiritual eyes, your eyes of your spirit that you see the spiritual truths with. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. So there's hope in the calling that God has for you. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He wants us to know all these things. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. So he has exceeding greatness of his power to usward. Exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. According to the working of his mighty power. So his power is at work in you, in your life, as a child of God. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he is far above these things, the principalities, the power, the might and dominion. So anything, including anything of the enemy, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is far above all this. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now the Lord wants us to understand that he is the head of the church. The church is his body. We're part of the body of Christ, so the head and the body are together, the head and the body. Where it says, and hath put all things under his feet, now the feet is part of the body, and we are the body, so it hath put all things under his feet, so it's talking about under the feet of the body of Christ, hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He wants us to understand that, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He wants us to understand that he's placed us in a position of power and authority in him. In him, praise God. Power and authority in him. So far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, Christ is far above all things, and we are part of his body. We are part of his body. So we have power, we have authority given to us by him, in him. We are powerful people in him, in the Lord. And he's put all these things under his feet, and we are part of his body. He's the head over all things to the church. He's the head of the church. And we are the body, the Bible tells us, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So he wants us to understand that that is a powerful position in him. A powerful position in him. So this is the authority and the power that he has given you to use in your life. Praise God. Power and authority in him. In him. Praise God. Let's have a look at Luke 10, verses 19 and 20. So having been given this power and authority in him, he wants us to use it to direct the course of our life in a godly way. Praise God. So Luke 10 verses 19 and 20. And the Lord Jesus Christ said this to his followers, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So there's cause for rejoicing. Our names are written in heaven. Praise God. That's what we're rejoicing about. Our names are written in heaven. And on the earth here, understand that Jesus has given us that authority, that power. Power to tread. He says power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now that's symbolic of the enemy, the work of the enemy, the devil, and his followers. Power to tread on serpents and scorpions. So he's given us that power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Praise God, he says. both deadly things, serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, he says. Over all the power of the enemy. So understand that the enemy does not have the power to wreak havoc in your life unless you yield up your power that you've been given and don't stand firm in the power and authority that the Lord has given you as a Christian, because he has given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he's talking about us, ourselves, our life, the things that are concerning us in our life. We can direct it in a godly way and use this power and authority that he's given us in him, so we rejoice that our names are written in heaven, and use that power and authority so that God's will, to see God's will done in our life. God's will done in our life. So it starts with us choosing to believe what the Word of God says and choosing to follow it. Choosing these things, to believe it and follow it. And the enemy, which the Word of God tells us plainly, the Word of God, the enemy tries to steal, kill and destroy, the Word of God says. He's also an accuser of the brethren, and he ceases not to accuse the brethren day and night. So the enemy tries to steal, kill and destroy, and the way that we come against the enemy is using the power and authority in him that we have as Christians, such as using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's the name above all names, and every knee will bow to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's given us the power and authority to do that, to stand strong and use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also to resist the devil. Resist the devil, and I believe we read that in our newsletter this morning. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, the Bible says. So we are actually commanded to do that. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Flee from you. So we're not just to let ourselves be ridden over in life as Christians by the enemy's strategies, but we are called to fight the good fight of faith, because when you make a decision to stand for the Lord and obey him, when you make that decision, there's going to be opposition from the enemy. So when we fight the good fight of faith, we're not fighting against the Lord, he's on our side. We're fighting against the enemy, fighting against the work of the enemy, the strategies of the enemy. So we're called to fight the good fight of faith. And Jesus has said here in these verses that he's given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions. So understand that's concerning the enemy's work there. Serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. So just let that go into your spirit. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. So take that into your heart. That's a promise of the Lord. A promise of the Lord. So understand that he's given you power in him to do that, to tread on the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Praise God. So see yourself as a righteous person. Your name is written in heaven. Jesus Christ is the head, your head. He's the head of the body, which is the church, of which you are a part. You are part of the church, part of his body. So understand that he's the head, and the power that he has as the head, he's given to you to use as his body. Praise God. So he's the head. And now let's have a look. Let's turn to Ephesians, back to Ephesians again, chapter 2. So we do these things in his name. In his name. So that's showing. The power comes from him. So it's in Christ's name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Because the power and authority comes from him. In the Lord. So Ephesians 2. Let's read verses 4 to 6. And the word of God says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Made us sit together. So you're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's a wonderful gift that the Lord has bestowed upon us. And it's an honor as well to be seated together in heavenly places and raised up together in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. So change the way you think about yourself if you've been thinking about yourself in the wrong way. If you've been thinking, like, as a Christian, we should not think of ourselves as a lowly sinner, because we are no longer a lowly sinner. We are made righteous and crowned with righteousness. The Bible says that actually we are kings and priests in the book of Revelation chapter 1. And he's given us the gift of righteousness, the Bible says, the gift of righteousness, so it's being in right standing with the Lord and having your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus, and raised up, and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So see yourself as a person who's part of the body of Christ, a king and a priest, washed by the blood of Jesus, crowned with righteousness, and given power over all the power of the enemy. A king and a priest. Praise the Lord. A royal priesthood. Praise God. A royal priesthood. That's what the Bible says. A royal priesthood. Because the Lord says that you are that. He's made you that. He's made you that. A royal priesthood. Praise God, the word of God says. You are a royal priesthood. So he's bestowed a great gift upon us. Praise God. Have a look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Second Timothy 1 verse 7. Says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Praise God, we know that what God has not given us. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power," this is what the Lord has given us, "but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So that's what we have as Christians. we have in our spirits, we have the spirit of power and of love. These things are supernatural. And of a sound mind.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Lord.
Praise God. Power given from God, love, and a sound mind. All given from the Lord. All given from God. Power, love, and a sound mind. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So that's what he says that we have. So receive that. Receive that. You are powerful in the Lord, strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You've been given the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Praise God. All these things from the Lord. Praise God. So we are powerful and stable and secure in him. In him. So go back to the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and we'll read verses 20 and 21 in Ephesians 3. And the word of God says in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." So unto him, that's talking about the Lord, unto him that is able to do, this is what God is able to do, exceeding abundantly above. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So this is what the Lord is able to do. According to the power that worketh in us. So according to the power that worketh in us. So that, like the Lord Jesus Christ, when he healed people, there's testimonies in the New Testament. He said that according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. So you've received this because you have used your faith. So there's power at work in us, and that is our faith. According to the power, so we receive, and the Lord is able to do these things for us, according to the power that worketh in us. According to the power that worketh in us. There is power. You have power. He's given you the spirit of power. You have faith in your spirit. And it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing to use your faith and believe God. And as you do that, according to your faith, according to the power that worketh in us, the Lord is able to do for you, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Praise God. So you have power in you, power in your spirit. Power, the word says, power, according to the power that worketh in us. So he wants us to use that power. Use that power. Use the power. Spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Praise God. And he's called us to use these things working together. Power, love, and a sound mind. All working together. Praise God. Power, love, and a sound mind. As a Christian and according to the power that worketh in us. Praise God. According to the power that worketh in us. The power of God is at work in us. The power of God is at work in us. Praise the Lord. God's power is at work in us. It is at work in us. It's at work in our body. It's at work in our spirit. It's at work in our soul. The Word of God says that the Holy Ghost quickeneth our mortal bodies. Now that means, quickeneth means to make alive. And your mortal body is your flesh body that you live in. Because you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So the Holy Ghost, the Bible tells us, he quickeneth our mortal bodies. He quickeneth our mortal bodies. And we have a powerful spirit, the Word of God has told us that, and we have a sound mind. The mind is part of the soul.
Power, love, and a sound mind.
So the power of God is at work in us, according to the power that worketh in us. So you have power at work in you, and he's called us to use it. Praise God. He's called us to use it. Use it. So use the power, use the authority, use your faith to direct your life in a godly way. Praise God. Godly way. Have a look at Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17. And the Word of God says, for if by one man's offence death reigned by one, that's talking about Adam, so he was the one man. It says there, by one man's offence, he's talking about the disobedience in the Garden of Eden. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, because his sin in the Garden of Eden led to spiritual death of mankind, the separation, spiritual separation, and the physical death. So death reigned by one. And it says here, and this is the gospel message to us, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. We receive that by receiving Jesus Christ as our Saviour and Lord. The Bible tells us of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So we reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. He's the second Adam. Praise God. He is the last Adam. And it's by him we reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So through receiving him as your Lord and Saviour, you've received the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness. And having received these things, the abundance of grace, God's grace, and of the gift of righteousness given freely to you when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, the Bible says we shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now that word reign, we're used to associating that with a member of the royal family, correct? Reign. Reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So what's it saying to us? Well, it's saying to us that you can make sovereign, like a royal. Sovereign. You can make sovereign decrees about your life. To reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Make sovereign decrees about your own life. You can exercise a sovereign's power and authority in your life. The things that pertain to you, praise God. Sovereign power and authority, a sovereign's power and authority in your life. We are the ones who determine if God's will is going to be done in our life
by choosing to go his way. Choosing to go his way. The Lord has given us the ability and the right to choose. We choose to hear the word of God. We choose to obey, to be both hearers and doers. So God has given us the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. And the promise is we shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So we can make those sovereign decrees about our own life. Praise God. The things that concern us. Praise God. He's given us the divine right to choose. And we can choose to do that. And we have power given to us by the Lord to walk in the way of God with power over all the power of the enemy, to do the will of God, to walk in his way, walk in his ways. You see, the Lord says in Deuteronomy 30:19 that he's given us death and life, and he says, choose life. Choose life. He has set before us death and life. If we turn and have a look in Deuteronomy 30:19. And here the Lord says in this verse, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So he's given us the divine right to choose. Choose life. Choose life. Choose blessing. Choose to obey what God has commanded. Choose to walk in his ways. And as a Christian, that comes naturally to us because we're born again of his nature. Born again of his nature. And go back to the New Testament in Mark 11. In the New Testament in Mark 11. And there's wonderful promises here in Mark 11. We'll read verses 12 to verse 14 and then 20 to 24. Mark 11, 12 to 14. And verses 20 to 24. Starting at verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So look at verse 14 where it says, and Jesus answered. Answered. You can answer situations and things in your life that are not going the way of the will of God. You can answer them. So it says, and Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And if you look at verse 20 and 21, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Withered away. What did Jesus do? He spoke to the fig tree, pronounced the curse over it, and the thing died up at the roots and withered away. Died up from the roots and withered away. Now, Jesus did this as a demonstration for us to follow in his footsteps and answer things in our life that are not going the way of the will of God, and exercise our faith in God. If something is of the enemy, we also can exercise our authority and power. We can curse that thing and it will die up at the roots also. In the name of Jesus, use our authority. He did that for our learning, for our learning, so that we can follow in his footsteps. And if we go on and read verse 21 through to 24, starting at verse 22, I beg your pardon. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. Have faith in God. We are to live by faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So he's telling us, have faith in God. He's also telling us to speak to the mountain, which is symbolic of the issue or situation or problem that we're facing. So speak to the mountain. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Now, when you say that, say it in faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. So do it in faith. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So he's telling us, speak to the situation, answer it. As Jesus answered the fig tree, which had not produced fruit. So answer it. The Lord has promised us. You can answer situations and things in your life. Choose to have faith in God and answer them in faith. Praise God. Because the Lord is on your side and he will work for you. He will work for you in your life in a good way. In a good way, helping you, strengthening you, and working in your life so that things turn out good in your life when you trust him and choose to go his way and speak in accordance with his word, what his word says, like the promises of God that he's given you. Speak them out. Believe them and speak them over yourself. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He shall have whatsoever he saith. So if we're going to have what we say, let's say what the word says about us. If we are going to have what we say, let's say what the word says about us, such as we shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. We shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Let's say what the word says about us. And we'll finish with Matthew 17, verses 18 to 20. And the Lord said in Matthew 17:18-20, the word of God says, firstly it talks about a person being delivered from the work of the devil. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief." So unbelief limits the work of God in our life. So the Lord doesn't want us to speak unbelief, act in unbelief, harbour unbelief. It limits the Lord, it brings problems. And we can't function properly as the way God has told us to do as Christians, in unbelief. So, because of your unbelief, "For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." So what's he saying to us? If ye have faith, he's talking about faith here. Your faith is your power to believe God's word, your believing power. It's how you receive from the Lord. Your faith, that's what faith is. Your faith is your receiving, believing and receiving from the Lord. Think of it as the hands that reach out and receive from God the things that he has promised us. Your faith, your power to believe. It's a force, a powerful force. So if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, so we are called to use our faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain. See how faith works? Compare the faith as a grain of mustard seed to the mountain, because you're having faith in God. You're having faith in God. "Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Praise God. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Just take that into your spirit. Take that into your heart. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. For with God nothing shall be impossible, the word says. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Because the Lord is your helper and the Lord is on your side. And when you have faith in God, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Praise God. Let's close in prayer and wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for showing us the power that we have in the Lord, and that we are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is our head, the head of the body, and we are of the body, of the church, part of the church. We thank you, Lord, that you've given to each of us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank you that our names are written in heaven through faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for demonstrating the spiritual power that we have in you, Lord, so that we can follow in the way of God and see the will of God done in our life. We thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are with us. You are our helper. You are on our side, and we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing us these wonderful things, Lord, that we shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Reign in life by one Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. Your will is good towards us. You love us, and we thank you for that. We love you. We love you. We love you. And we thank you for the Holy Ghost. He is with us. He is in us. We thank you, Lord, that he gives good gifts as well. We thank you, Lord, and we thank you that you are here with us. And we wait upon the Holy Ghost to speak to us. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.